Hi, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Student Press Law Center's monthly podcast, a rundown on legal developments of interest to those working in the student media. I'm Frank Lomani, Executive Director of the Student Press Law Center, and the SPLC is an advocate for the independence of student journalists and provides legal assistance and research in support of those working in student media across the country. You can connect with us through our website, splc.org, and send us any legal questions you might have through email at splc@splc.org. Well, shockwaves went through the national news media when in 2013 it was disclosed that the Federal Justice Department had clandestinely used subpoenas to get access to the telephone records of journalists working for Fox News and for the Associated Press who were believed to have received leaked information from federal sources. The Justice Department, after this disclosure came to light, agreed to revise and revisit its guidelines and has, in fact, tightened up some of its standards for when it will seek access to the phone records or email records of journalists in conducting investigations. But those policies affect only federal law enforcement and not state prosecutors working at the state level. Fortunately, there are privacy advocates who are working at the state level to try to tighten up the standards for prosecutors and police going after the records of journalists that might give away the identity of confidential sources. And we have one of those advocates with us today. Representative Daniel Zolnikov of Billings, Montana, is a Republican who represents Montana's 45th House District. He's been a very outspoken advocate for digital privacy on a lot of causes, and we're so happy to have him join us today on the SPLC podcast to talk about his recently enacted House Bill 207 in Montana that affords an extra measure of privacy protection for journalists and their sources. So, Representative Zolnikov, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Well, I guess if you don't mind, just first start off a little bit by introducing yourself and how it was that that you came to be interested in this issue.
Okay, so there's a little bit of a going backwards. I got elected November 2012 at the age of 25 into Montana's legislature, so I was definitely one of the younger ones. I have a information systems and a marketing background, so I kind of understand how social networks work, how a lot of our digital communications work. It's more second nature to me than a lot of the typical legislators who usually are a little older than in their 20s. So
sure.
I was lucky enough to have a friend who worked in a hacking, in the world of hacking. He was what they'd consider a good hacker. And he informed me about like privacy legislation, how there's really no policy in place and how I could work on some legislation. So I did so. My first session, most of it failed. It got me into some controversial positions, but in the end, I passed one little bill. And this was early 2013 when it passed. So I passed a bill. It required a search warrant for cell phone location information. No one cared, no signing ceremony, nothing happened. Until June 5th and 6th, I started getting some phone calls, and people were like, you passed this bill before anybody else. I said, I guess so. I don't know. We passed this bill in Montana. And it was a shocker to me, and it was all because of Edward Snowden's revelations on NSA that it was realized that this was apparently a very important bill. Let me go on from there. So the bill basically would have protected or did protect people from these things called stingrays, which we would learn existed a few months and years later, where your information and location was being collected. So we got all this. So we were a little proactive on what could possibly happen, even though it was already happening. The interesting thing out of all this, is that in the next year, this legislation got so much attention in the news, the media, everywhere that it started passing in other states. And then there was a Supreme Court case in California that I can't remember the name of it, it evades me right now, but it basically made that law the same concept of the law through a Supreme Court case, the law of the land. So everybody's location information was protected until a warrant was obtained. Very interesting. So with that happening, I was thinking, and I came back to my next session in early 2015, and instead of having a few bills, I had a lot of legislation that I worked on with national groups to better protect privacy. The one on the press, though, which I'm here to talk about, was more my creation because in the 2 years prior, I got to deal with the press quite a bit. I learned about Snowden and how Glenn Greenwald almost didn't even hear about Snowden because Snowden, when he first was talking to Glenn, was like, I need you to encrypt all this stuff. I need you to run these programs, and then I'll start sending you stuff over. And Glenn just ignored it because Snowden was so concerned. So so taking that realization into play, the lack of protection for the journalists meant that anybody connecting to them could be found out through their digital communications. So
sure.
You go back 30 years ago, I walk up to you and I tell you what's going on. I give you some big information. Well, that now, if the any agency of the government wants to find it out, they have to walk up and ask you, the journalist, and the journalist can say no. And in the digital world, if I email you or call you or text you, they could say, well, the journalist isn't giving up the information to the source. We're just going to look at who the journalist has been talking to and find out who that source is. Now you have a disincentive for whistleblowers to talk to the press.
We should add that Montana, like just about every state in the country, has a reporter's privilege. Their privilege is memorialized in statute in Montana law. And the privilege, although it's phrased as a reporter's privilege, in fact, is really more important to protect the safety of sources than it is to protect journalists, because journalists are not the people who are going to lose their job over leaks. It's the source that is at risk of losing his or her job or even potentially being prosecuted for blowing the whistle. And so these really are more properly thought of as being source protection or whistleblower protection bills. And your legislation, House Bill 207, builds upon the existing reporter's privilege that was already in Montana law.
Exactly. A lot of these states have these laws, but I don't think many, I'm not sure if any, actually have it covering digital communications, which is the next level, especially since we now know all of our phone calls and emails, texts, Snapchats are all being saved. That means there's a record, and there better be some laws defining certain protections, especially for the communications of journalists, because I don't want to end up in a state that's more similar to North Korea than the United States.
Well, and the reporter's privilege, typically, because these bills date back to the 60s and 70s, has protected journalists against direct intrusions on their privacy. It protects journalists against being searched or being questioned by law enforcement to give up their confidential information. But, of course, at the time these bills were initially written, nobody thought of the possibility that an electronic intermediary like a Gmail or an AOL or some other custodian of your electronic data might, in fact, be subpoenaed potentially without your knowledge. That's what became so frightening when it came to light that the Justice Department was using these third-party intermediaries in lieu of confronting the journalists directly, knowing that there would be a reporter's privilege objection.
Exactly. And add one thing about using third-party communication, such as Gmail, is the third-party doctrine states indirectly that you have no expectation of privacy. So me emailing you means that I have lost all expectation of privacy, so those shield laws may not even be protecting the journalist because there's no longer an expectation of privacy in that communication.
What House Bill 207 does is it simply adds to the existing reporter's privilege the term electronic communication service, and it says that neither a judicial body nor a legislative body nor any other government authority can go to a provider of electronic communication service to try to get at the information from a journalist that would otherwise be privileged if it was to demanded directly from the journalists. So in effect, it patches a digital hole that technology has poked into the reporter's privilege.
Yeah, exactly. So the next question is, okay, what is the big deal of just Montana passing this? Because we know a lot of the abuses have been and continue to be at the federal level. And the thing I learned my first session with my one little privacy bill was if people know about it, it will be replicated. If you build it, they will come kind of concept. So I focus on a lot of precedents that aren't passing Congress that if we could prove worked in my state, that some people still think is part of Canada. So we're all way up in Northwest here. If we could focus on passing this legislation here, we can prove it works, and then it's an incentive that maybe other states will start passing it. And you know what? Congress hasn't really been moving too fast lately, and these aren't their most exciting issues. So if we bring it up to the ground level, hopefully they'll be more incentivized to act. The interesting thing is with the bill protecting the sources of the press, it was not really I thought it would be a more interesting topic than it was picked up as. So we have set the precedent, but I guess it's like we started a little bit of fire and, you know, like a grass fire, and it hasn't taken a blaze yet. And if it doesn't, that's okay. We still have the precedent, but it won't really incentivize many other legislatures to act. So that's kind of the funny point I'm at right now.
Yeah. Well, one thing certainly for those listening to us today who have access to an editorial page, this is a valuable potential tool to help protect journalists' confidences and something that college journalists might want to think about using their editorial pages to advocate for in their own states. It certainly is a concern that as state prosecutors are getting more and more technologically sophisticated, as the Justice Department is already today, that they may begin trying to use these digital end runs to obtain confidential information that they would otherwise be prohibited from obtaining under the reporter's privilege.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, because we certainly think of Montana as being a place that would be fairly characterized as a law and order state. Often when you enact reporter's privilege statutes or you try to broaden the scope of the reporter's privilege, you get pushback from law enforcement. You hear from police and prosecutors that you're going to take away a weapon from their arsenal and you're going to make it harder to arrest criminals and tougher to put them away. Did you hear that in Montana? Was that an objection that you had to confront and overcome?
I had to hear that on almost every single piece of legislation I brought forth. I had a really, really big one that would have required notification if your digital communications was read. Because if someone's reading your email, you may never know it. So what we want is once they're done with the case, they let you know. And then since they will then know they have to contact you, they might be more careful on what emails they read and for what reasons they read them. That was a big one. It sounded like I would have basically let every criminal be free if that bill would have passed. And that was all – I had probably five or six similar types of legislation. And this one, I think since it affected the press, was not spoken about like that, because if it affects the press, then, you know, I don't think the opposition really wants to be on the record with the press watching what's going to happen with this piece of legislation. So that was just I think that's what happened with this bill. This one was more left alone, and it was pretty easy to pass because it's common sense.
Yeah. Had you actually experienced a case in Montana that alarmed you, or was this more of a precautionary measure?
No, this was more at a national level. I just, I'm not a national politician. So I figured, again, the idea of setting precedents is about all I can do to hopefully help set a stage, a bigger stage on some of these issues. So that's where I was coming from. The other thing is I don't believe, and you can correct me on this, but I don't think there's a national law passed. I know that they've tried. I know that there are people working on it, but it's basically considered dead every time they try to pass it. it just doesn't move forward.
Right. The reporter's privilege has been stuck in Congress for decades now. It has gotten close a number of times, but it has never made it through, and partially because of objections from law enforcement agencies. In fact, largely because federal law enforcement contends that to take journalists' confidences off the record potentially ties their hands in sensitive national security and terrorism investigations. And so there have been many attempts over the years at fashioning compromise language, but one of the many hang-ups nationally has been attempting to define who is a journalist who is entitled to invoke the protection of the reporter's privilege. And by the way, I should say that in Montana, the reporter's privilege is defined to extend to any newspaper, magazine, news agency, news service, radio or television station, and so on. And so Montana is certainly one of those where a student journalist ought to be able to claim the protection of the privilege just as a professional could. There are a few states, Texas is one, Florida is one, where the entitlement to the privilege is based on earning a salary as a journalist, but Montana is not one of those states. So certainly a person working for a student newspaper at Montana or Montana State or one of the universities would be entitled to claim this privilege just as would a person working for a professional salary. So that's a distinction that students should be aware of and should know that in most states they do have the full benefit of the reporter's privilege if they are asked to give over confidential information. Let me just ask. I mean, this is sort of the ultimate softball question. The people that are listening to us are largely going to be people working in journalism who don't need any convincing at all. But certainly, most of the people that you were dealing with as colleagues in the legislature are not journalists, and they're not people who perhaps have any great deal of familiarity with or affection for journalism. And so how do you make the case to those people that this issue should matter to them and that journalists' ability to protect their confidences is important to the rest of us?
So one of the most interesting things about this bill was as a Republican, it seems like the Republicans tend to be less excited sometimes to be you could say there's always that concept of media bias, or we think the media is against this, or we think the media is on that. And so there's not always the most action to, or most excitement to take action. So that was one of the first things I ran against was like, well, why? I said, look at any other country and tell us how bad our situation is and tell us that there's a big problem. Tell me this isn't worth protecting. And usually then once I busted out, this is a very basic First Amendment freedom, everybody was on board. It wasn't the fear of criminals or anything like that. It was just like, well, why? Why is this important? If you don't have a free press, you don't get a story that needs to be broke. So as politicians, we all have good stories and bad stories that come out against us or for us or with us, on us, however you want to put it. We had to put those biases aside and say, this isn't about the story that you got last week because you said something wrong and you think the media is out to get you. This is a basic fundamental Bill of Rights protection.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us today. This is Representative Daniel Zolnikoff of Montana, Montana's 45th House District in Billings. And just go ahead and give everybody, I know that you're active on social media. How can people connect with you on Twitter if they want to participate in this conversation or maybe share some ideas with you about legislation?
So my Twitter is Daniel Zolnikoff. My Facebook is facebook.com/Daniel Zolnikoff. My email, daniel.zolnikoff@gmail.com. My website's danielzolnikoff.com. I make it as easy as possible to basically find me if you need me. So most bill ideas aren't mine. I think this one was a more unique one, but I'm always open to hear about it. If anybody wants to ask questions or talk about it, contact me at any time. Like, I'm literally probably one of the easiest people to get in touch with.
Well, thanks so much for making yourself available to talk with us today, and we look forward to following what you'll propose next in Montana in the way of privacy legislation. If you, as a student or an educator, have any question about your own privacy rights, you can contact the SPLC through our hotline. That's area code 202-785-5450. You can email us through SPLC at SPLC.org. We hope you'll follow us on social media. That's just at SPLC on Twitter. And, of course, tune in every month to the SPLC podcast for more updates about changes in the law that might affect your rights. Thanks for listening.